This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everybody. I hope that this Saturday, as I've said every Saturday, that you guys are sitting here just anticipating some amazing conversation. And I have today two lovely ladies in front of me, Catherine Madden, and then I've got a new lovely lady, okay? I've been told, Tom Moody, if you're listening, that it is the female impersonation of Tom Moody. You can thank Catherine for that. So I'll let you and her work that out when you get back. But Jen Simon. Jen, say good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And so we're thrilled to have him here, and we're gonna be introduced to, this morning, a unique kind of business. And I think that this is amazing that we have this. It's out there. Mm-hmm. People never really probably thought about it. How and why and what happens after a tragedy takes place. But these are things that are necessities that happen. Jen, your company is Bio1 of Charlotte.
Yes, sir.
You've lived in Rock Hill for 10 years.
I have, yes.
Okay. That makes you an old habit, you know,
as we call around here. Thank goodness. I've been waiting for it.
We were in a habit. And Catherine, tell us about your friend Jen.
Well, where do I start? She is an incredible human being, but more than just who she is as a person, she just has a heart for people. And I say that because her company, a lot of people will say, you do what? Because it's crime scene cleanup and hoarding cleanup. And people say, you do what? But I think the big picture of it is she's not doing the cleanup. That's not the big piece of it. That's a part of it. But it's healing the heart and the minds of the people that she is helping that I think is really the big picture, and that it takes a special individual to be able to do that and to be able to understand, not judge, and come at a real angle and just say, how can I help? What can we do to make this better? More than just what it looks like. What about on the inside of you? How can we heal that? And I think Jen has that beautiful, beautiful capability to be able to do that.
I think that's what makes you successful.
So
you can pay her later.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, you know, and I understand that from a general contractor. It's a lot of times we'll come in and we do a lot of retro. We take it apart, put it back together.
Sure.
We've done a lot of work at OTS Media for the Millers and different, and Manning Kimmel, different other ones. A lot of people under the sound of our voice. But there's a joy for me too, so I understand it from the creative side, from the satisfaction side. Maybe we don't have to necessarily deal with the tragedy. Occasionally we do, mm-hmm. after a fire or a flood or some kind of water damage. We get in and retro things, and we spend a lot of time on the mental anguish of it with the homeowner, and we say to them, hey, listen. You're going to be okay. We're going to get this back better than new. We're going to make it better than it was.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it together. So, Jen, I'm going to hush, and I'm going to let you just take over.
Okay.
Okay? You're amongst friends, and any enemies out there, you've already made... That's it. You just keep going. But tell us about Bio1.
Okay. So Bio1, it is... crime and trauma scene cleanup company, but again, so much more. We are very multifaceted. We serve a lot of senior populations. We help the police departments. We work with coroners. I mean, really, you can drive down the street and look at different businesses and different homes, and I feel like we could help anyone. So back to what Catherine was kind of saying is our motto is help first, business second. Because that is our goal, is always to help the homeowner or help the family member or the commercial, you know, operation, wherever we're going is to help them in a time of need. So, you know, we've been the shoulder to cry on in a lot of, you know, unfortunate circumstances when people take their life or homicides. Undiscovered death is a common job that we have to do. A lot of times people live on their own and, you know, natural causes and they pass but aren't found for a while. And so all of those things are sad, but they're part of life. It's a very human thing. So when they call Bio One, we want them to feel just that, that we're human, we're here for them, it's a no judgment zone. We're going to come in and walk with them through the whole process. And, you know, a lot of times they're calling and they're upset and they're in tears and I don't know what to do. They've never been in that situation. You know, most people haven't. But again, that's where we come in and we answer the phone 24/7. You will never get our voicemail. We aren't a 1-800 number. We're a local small business. There's 8 of us. And we will go out 2 o'clock in the morning. We will go out on Christmas Day. We have to help someone in need.
Well, yeah. I'm sure that you're working very closely with a lot of the associations in terms, obviously, the police,
yep.
you know, and, yep. And the rescue and the fire and obviously coroner
yep.
and those kind of things. You're working close with state agencies and different other things that create and bring you in. But, you know, occasionally I'm sure, you know, you're having to work very closely with the loved ones
yes.
and during this process and the dignity aspects of it all
yeah.
in terms of that is it's a very interesting, you know, the first thing I got to ask you is, how in the world did you get into this?
Right. I hear that a lot. So my partner and I purchased the franchise in 2018. My background was event management and marketing and business. And I knew I wanted to own my own business someday. And his was more of the water, fire, mold remediation. So he worked for the Serve Pros of the world. So we kind of put our brains together and what could we do with our skills, you know? And he found Bio One as an option. And he said, do you want to do crime scene cleaning? And I said, no, I don't actually. That doesn't sound good at all. Let's open like a cookie store or something.
Yes.
However, I fell in love with the helping aspect, helping people transform their homes into something safe, start a new future, have a fresh start, all of that stuff, and even in the tragic moments too, because I've always had a heart to help. I volunteer on all the PTOs and all the boards and everything. That's just kind of in my soul. So we jumped in headfirst and started in October of 2018. And hit the ground running. And here we are about 8 years later and still going strong. So it wasn't, you know, I went to school in Central Michigan University for event management. And now we clean up, you know, homicides in Charlotte. So you never know where life's going to take you.
Well, you know, and I think that one of the intriguing things that you run into in life's experiences is that you always find something. And if you really look back on life and you think back to, well, you know, I'm in school, I'm in yeah. high school, I'm in grade school, and I'm coming through, I'm going to college, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this happen, and we're going to create something, and boy, I've got this dream, and I got this vision, and I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to be doing this, and I'm going to be singing songs and making cookies. And then you end up...
In the real world.
Yeah. And so... I think it's just a passion that sometimes life and the good Lord above
yep.
has this management of your life that puts you in a position where you're in the greatest position to be of the greatest need and help.
I agree.
Well, and Catherine, if you had to go to work, what would be the job of your choice at Bio One?
So I think that it's not, for me, I'd have to dig deep and I'd have to channel my inner psychologist, therapist, and say, what can I do to help this person they're in need? And I think it's taking yourself back and taking a step back and saying, pause for a moment. Is this really an issue of what we can see on the surface, or is it deeper than that? And I think that's where Jen has really been successful, because that's the part of her that she just really channels into and says, okay, I'm sure she helps with some of the cleanup stuff, but her bigger job at hand is to handle the family, handle the person that is suffering in some capacity. And I think that's the big picture. It's the mental health side of this. I mean, tell us a little bit about, because you've told me before, Jen, about a hoarding situation and how it's, a lot of people look at a hoarding situation, they say, it's just somebody's dirty. It's not that they're dirty. It's actually much bigger than that. It's not about
cleanliness. It can be a mental issue. Yes.
It has something. It's a root cause and it's attachment to items. So what does that look like on a mental side? What are they going through when you talk to people like that?
Yeah. So the number one thing I think about is giving them hope. So hope is a very large word to me. A lot of times we get calls at 2 a.m. from hoarding clients themselves that are just desperate, overwhelmed, completely at their wit's end. And when they're calling us at 2 a.m, not expecting us to pick up, but we do, that's where you make that connection. And I let them know they're not alone, that there are lots of people in the world that are dealing with depression and anxiety. They may have cut the outside world off with items or things to fill a void, but it doesn't mean that there's no hope. And so just talking to them for a half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it takes, usually allows me to make an estimate appointment, a free, no obligation, no judgment estimate. I always say all of that because that's scary to let someone into your safe space. You know, that's very scary. It's very intimidating. So once I go, you know, me or my general manager, Michaela, once we go and we actually meet them and they see we're not just some scary person's going to throw all their stuff away, we usually, you know, connect. And that's what I think a big part of what we do is just connection. And so we start getting a tour of the home and we find out about their past. And usually it's trauma, you know, divorce, death, some type of job loss or, you know, estrangement with their family. There's always trauma. And so I kind of dig into that right in the get-go, because there's no point of us just coming in and getting rid of everything. We're just putting a Band-Aid on it. So I do have some mental health training and things that help me with that. I'm not a licensed therapist, and I tell my clients that. But we just talk it out, kind of like we are right now, sure. You know, and just kind of go from there.
And sometimes that's the greatest thing, because we do a lot of that, too. We have clients that come in a lot, too, and they're just as overwhelmed at trying to pick a color for a room.
Sure, yeah.
And you watch the anxiety, and then and a lot of times you play marriage counselor when you walk into the door, and it's like, well, now I want this color, I want that color. Well, what do you think, John? I'm like, hold on a minute. I'm not going to get in the middle of this.
I'm neutral.
I'm going to tell you what I like,
yeah.
But I want to tell you what I think suits. And so it becomes, whenever there's not even crisis that you deal with every day, sometimes a greatest crisis in the world. And I know the show is we're kind of centralizing on mental health aspects of life and what we deal with. You have a very extreme end of tragic circumstances a lot of times that you're having to deal with. In my end, it's more of a encouraging, you know, we're going to make it
exciting,
better, we're going to go
change,
on, you know,
yeah.
Those kind of things. And so, but I see the same or similar type of anxieties. They just...
Yeah.
You know, to have somebody come into your home is like the greatest invasion in the world.
Absolutely.
And now they'll say, well, we want all new windows. And you're going, okay, well, I need to measure them. Well, you can't go in that room.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, that's fine. Well, let me see if I can do that from the outside. You
sure.
Pick up the anxiety.
Absolutely.
So you read the tea leaves, as I like to say. And so you understand what that is. But it's a real issue in terms of what you deal with. Now, I was looking down the list of some of the other things that you do. And, you know... You say you're not a licensed therapist, and then today's world, anytime you deal with the public, you have a little bit of that you have to deal with.
Yes.
I know Catherine never runs into customers like me. See, I happen to be one of her clients.
Yes, yes.
And I know she has to go home and take probably a tranquilizer after dealing with John or something
energy,
like
that. You know?
Yeah,
that's
well,
what we do.
She does, but I'm sure at the end I'm going, oh my God, he's too much. I know.
No.
She doesn't have to say it.
Okay.
I can read
you're
it,
self-aware.
But that's all right.
That's
but, you know, one of the unique things that you and I were talking before the show, and we were all talking together. Tell me about this homeless encampment visitation.
Yeah.
I got to hear about this.
Yes. So during COVID, we were kind of in the right place at the right time. We already did biohazard cleanup and infectious disease control and all of those things. As you know, unfortunately, the homeless population and the unhoused kind of tripled and quadrupled, and it was really a bad situation. So we got involved with Mecklenburg County, Parks and Rec, York County, Parks and Rec, anybody who you typically has to clean up those areas, you know, when left or when people are asked to leave. And a lot of times what's left behind are drug paraphernalia, needles, human feces, sometimes other things that your average Parks and Rec person should not be required to deal with. If you get poked, you know, that's a whole series of medicine. And
absolutely.
Yeah, so there's proper PPE and precautions that need to be taken. So we have really cornered the homeless encampment cleanup market, and we do quite a few of them throughout Charlotte, back of businesses, you know, back of the woods, and we are as humane as we can be about it. I mean, I go back and chat with people that are just on hard times and try to get them connected to different shelters around. I work with Pathways here in Rock Hill with Taylor, and, you know, there's a lot more that goes into someone just not having a home. I mean, we're blessed, we're lucky that we, you know, have the life we have, but I don't walk in there and just say, hey, we're throwing out your crap. You know, I've helped them pack up things before. So it's trying to, like, merge the need of the public and of law enforcement and the need of the people that are hurting, that are, you know, not able to stay there anymore. So we do our best to try to kind of meet in the middle there. We recycle as much as we can, and we try to leave the area back to, you know, a safe environment. So it's
wild.
Well,
I think that's fantastic because, again, here on, you know, this property here where the sales center is, where we do this production, we run into, you know, there's a lot of traffic up and down the street. During colder times, I mean, we design and sell custom storage sheds and all that, and obviously, you know, occasionally you'll get out of the weather, you know, in those kind of things, you'll find these good people don't have another place to go.
Yeah,
these aren't all people that have extreme mental issues. There's been causes where they just decided they wanted to escape from the reality of whatever that life was.
Yeah.
And I can't judge that. I can't
no,
place
none
that
of
in
us can.
It's
yeah.
like in the remodeling industry, it's a tough world. Mm-hmm. But compared to what you have to go in and deal with and to do, my hat's off to you.
Thank you. It's perspective. It really is. And that's, my crew feels the same way. I mean, we don't go into any of these situations thinking we're better than anyone. And, you know, we're here to just clear out your stuff and fix you. We go in truly with human compassion and empathy, just like you do bringing food by. You know, I've bought pizza many times for people that, you know, are needing somewhere else to go. And so I think that owning a small business is tough. It's not for the weak. But if you lead with your heart.
Amen, sister.
Yeah,
go on and preach it. I will
Lord
pass the
mercy.
Offering plate.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But it does have its give backs too. And I think that with us, specifically at Bio1, we just always lead with the heart, and it always seems to work out. You know, things balance the way they are. There's times that we do jobs, you know, pro bono. Like, we don't take anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anytime, you know, there's law enforcement or children in a tragic incident, you know, we're 100% doing that for free. But then there's times where, you know, some of these larger corporations are hiring us, and we can charge a little bit more for the type of work that we do. And it just, again, it evens out. I just feel like
completely.
That's karma. It's business
it
karma.
Is.
You know?
There's a many a time we've walked into situations where they just didn't have the money, but they absolutely had the need.
Yes.
And it's just not as a person that you just, in a community that you're trying to work with,
yeah.
you just can't walk away.
I
mean, you know, I speaking of that, you know, we're going to skip into Christmas time for a minute.
Okay.
Watching Catherine at Toys of Happiness run around and to do what she does to get the toys ready and all those gifts. And it's the same heart. And I'm not patting her on the back, but Alan and Manning and all them over what they do there to mm-hmm. be able to give to those that just can't, for whatever reasons, aren't able to do that. And so the heart of the matter, I think, is the key with anything. Mm-hmm. If you really test the heart of the matter of what we do, it doesn't matter what business it is.
Absolutely.
The healthy aspect of it is, are we providing something that's better or making our community, the people around us, better? Mm-hmm. Deserve? That's not even a question. Should we? Really not even a question either for those that are called according to a higher purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have that purpose, I believe that the good Lord above looks after us. And I think people commune with one another, and you begin to draw nearer to, as you two have become friends. I can see why, because you have a similar heart to want to serve and want to be. It's not just in what we do. You know, I think the hardest thing in the world for people to understand, and I've tried to teach my young children and the older too, is that the hardest thing to do is the hardest job. But if you do it with the right atmosphere, it becomes not so hard.
Exactly. That's exactly the spirit that I go into hoarding jobs with. Some people may walk into that house and see things from floor to ceiling and roaches running around and a mountain of dirty diapers in the corner and just where do we start? How do we even do this? I look at it as a transformation. I look at it as an opportunity for them to go through all of their things and find out what's important to them and release that emotional trauma as they do it. And that's what happens. I mean, I can tell you countless stories of being able to initially do the estimate with someone. They can't look me in the eyes. Their anxiety is so tough. They're so embarrassed of their home to, at the end, laughing and crying and high-fiving each other and burning their ex-husband's pictures and just being a whole different woman.
Oh, I see. It's that kind of meeting. Okay. I'm with you now.
Hey, if the shoe fits, I just have to say, like, you know. So it's about changing their lives. I mean, really, we're the first step in that because a lot of times the electrical's not working, the heat's not working, the plumbing isn't working, but those trades can't even get in until we do what we do. And so we're just like the first line of defense. And then I connect them with all my wonderful trade partners that I work with. And it's just, it's magic, really. And they get back on their feet. I've had so many clients like friend me on Facebook and tell me they're traveling now and they've got work again. And it's just, that's the magical part for me is helping them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reward is greater than the monetary gain.
Yes.
And I understand that. I do. That which you do for others is the greatest payment you're going to get. It just seems like the Lord blesses you and it brings you good people into your life
it
and
does.
Things happen. And honestly, it's all part of, you know, Catherine, I got to ask her this question, but I'm going to let you ask her.
Okay.
How's your mental health? Catherine, ask her that.
How's your mental health?
You know, I'm in therapy, as I think we all should be. I see a therapist, but I have always been a wear my heart on my sleeve. So if I need to cry, I'm going to cry. If I'm standing at a job and it hits me to cry, I'm crying.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, because when you face that every day, you know, as you know, the responders and all that, they come in. There's always, where do you go?
I
go to the Lord. I'm just going to be real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, heart on the sleeve. I spend my time with the Lord in prayer and teaching and bury myself in that. And that is my get the load off. Okay. Because
I think, though, that for Jen, and correct me if I'm wrong, the reward at the end balances out all the feelings in the beginning. And I'd like to kind of go back down the path of like hoarding, because one of the things you're saying is what you do, you're helping them get back on their feet. But I think we sometimes forget it doesn't start with Jen. Someone has to tell Jen. So whereas a community, you know, it takes a village. How are we helping our friends, our family? How are we, what signs should
That's
we be
point.
Looking for to know there is an issue at hand? It's bigger than this. You need help more than what I can do. It's not me coming over and vacuuming for you.
Yeah.
It's not me coming over and washing your dishes or something.
I get it.
You need a bigger help, and
it's
not just about cleaning. So what do people look for? What would you suggest?
It's such a sensitive subject, right? You know, if you're a friend and you go over someone's home that maybe they haven't let you in a long time and you notice there's a problem, you can't just be like, oh my gosh, you're a hoarder. I have a friend. You know, you have to really wear kid gloves with it. But that's where the introduction is crucial, because I the second that I can talk to them, I feel like they can hear in my voice the true humanity and the compassion. I think anytime you have someone that's dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety, maybe has lost a job, maybe going through a tough divorce, all of those things can, I mean, imagine if, John, you don't take your trash out for 2 weeks. It adds up quick.
Have you been following me around?
No.
I'm just curious.
I'm not a PI now. That's our other friend.
All right.
No, but it adds up quickly. So a lot of people are like, how can they live like that? Honestly, it really doesn't take that long.
It doesn't.
And then
it
insects and kids
time.
And if you have pets and they're going. So again, no judgment, but if you have someone in your life, or maybe someone who's a senior that just can't get to it, we can come in and give them a fresh start and then hook them up with aftercare, which are maid services. So they can come in once a month and keep them on track. We don't want to have to come back We do have clients that we come back every couple months, but we preferably would like to set them up with therapy and set them up with maid services so that way they're on the track for success and not having to call Bio1 again.
Sure. It's a fine line between support and help.
Yes.
Helping hand to get them up and about. And again, you know, your business isn't about, we got an attic full of stuff and we want it cleaned out. That's another business. This isn't, we're talking about something that inherently is a danger. It is a, when I say a danger, any type of hoarding situations, and I've seen quite a few, and in terms, I've been invited in to replace flooring in a house. I couldn't even see the floor.
Right.
And you know, you saw other things, and we generally kind of worked and went to the smallest room and said, well, let's do it in here.
Yeah.
And then as we're moving this out, let's kind of glance through this and see if there's any of this stuff you really need.
Yeah.
And then before long, you're backing the truck up and they're like, you know what? I don't need none of this.
Yeah.
And so it's just that initial bump.
Absolutely. They see a little transformation. And when they can see some progress being done, that wall gets broken. I tell you every time. After that first day, because the first day is hard. They're going through a lot of things. But we try to focus on one spot, like maybe the living room where they usually sit. And if they're going to be able to sit there that evening and look around and not see piles and mountains and feel safer, they can't wait to start the next day. So it's just all about progress and motivation, you know?
If you could give somebody one piece of advice that is maybe sees themselves going down that path, they're like, oh my gosh, I just buy things because I have to have everything and it's starting to mountain up and I have a whole room devoted to just stuff. What would be your suggestion?
So as overwhelming as it can be, you need to start with one thing at a time. So focus on getting a garbage bag and walking around your house and picking up obvious trash. Those Amazon boxes that you've been ignoring in the corner for a while, old magazines that you don't need, things that are easy for you to get rid of. That starts the clearing of some of the mess, you know, to where you can get to the things that are harder to make decisions on. I see a lot of times people inherit a lot of things.
Right.
And we already have a house full of crap. And we got to take mom's crap or grandma's crap. Mm-hmm. And then it just becomes a mountain. And then how do I deal with it? It's where do you start? So I always recommend starting with the obvious trash. My team always calls me obvious trash because I say it all the time, but the obvious trash, it's just a nickname. But start there and then give yourself a time limit. See, I'm going to do this for an hour. And that you finish that for the day. You know, don't think that you're going to take it all in one sitting because then you'll give up. It's just too much.
Well, I have an office over next, not that far from here. And I might be the only male you've ever met that likes to collect china.
Oh, okay.
And so,
is it a big collection, John?
You might have to trip and fall over some things. I could be hoarding some more. I'm just,
it
could be a collection. Yes, yes. I may need your services, you know, on another private note, you know.
Okay.
All that said, there is a difference between collectibles and things that you just can't let go of. And sometimes it is the emotional I won't say overstimulation. It's the fact that you just can't face. Sometimes it's just grief.
Yeah, sentimental. Mm-hmm.
It's so deep and entrenched. So I love what you said. It's the same thing with us when we go into many a house or do business. We look at it from the point of view of no judgment.
Yep.
You know, let's make it better. Let's get in here and team up together. So I love your heart behind that. I love the fact of what you do. And you can tell by your presence. I kind of sit in the atmosphere of someone and can pretty well tell you what they love and who they are. Jen, you're first class.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, that's very
Catherine,
sweet.
Closing comments. We're running a little over, but
I just have to say, be a good person, do the right thing, and hey, Saturday morning, go take out the trash. This is real talk.
With Catherine Madden and Jen Simon, S-Y-M-O-N. Their company is Bio1 of Charlotte.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church, a ministry that loves this community. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.